I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by James Dowse.
Hey, I was first, Josh.
And Josh Brown.
Now you get nothing now.
Well, I've got nothing. You, and that's enough. I don't even need your vocal confirmation because we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. So the PlayStation Plus premium service is in full swing. I called it premium. It's kind of still just PlayStation Plus, colloquially, but now it's in three different versions. And it's kind of been bandied about as Sony's answer to Game Pass. There's a lot of conversation going on as to whether it is the same value as Game Pass and all the conversations that come out of that and the fact that you can access PS1 games, PS2 and PS3, and like two PSP games in there as well.
Hell yeah.
So they can say that it's on there, but good Lord, Sony, you could do a lot more. Where is my Pursuit Force? And so we're going to break a lot of stuff down in regards to our thoughts on the service, because all three of us have got the highest tier, I believe. We all sort of plumped out for the premium. Mr. Josh Brown, you were lucky enough to get Sony himself dropped by, kicked the window in, swung in.
That is,
said, do you want this, young man?
That is exactly what happens. And if I was sent to court, that would definitely hold up. No, yeah, I do want to clarify before we begin that, I was given the PS Plus premium service from a contact at Sony. So that's how I was able to try it, just to let you know
for professional purposes.
For professional purposes. Yeah. So you can make of that what you will. It won't sway my opinion, but it's worth knowing.
I think what's actually kind of cool in regards to the way that you pay for it, and yeah, we're not remotely sponsored by anything, but I like the fact that when you upgrade from your regular PlayStation Plus to premium or extra, you only pay the difference. When you actually go, because for me it was like £26 or something, because I'm already a few months into a year's worth of PlayStation Plus, which I thought was a way to sort of mask the fact that you're like buying into something that is otherwise £100 a year if you go for the premium stuff. But yeah, let's do open question stuff. What do you guys think of the overall service, Mr. James Dowse?
I am a fan.
Good.
I've noticed that there's a lot of shovelware on there. A lot of the stuff you'd find if you go for the PS Store, £5 or less.
Right.
That's the games that's on the service. But there's a few hidden gems in there. Mm-hmm. You got the PS1 games like the Toy Story 2 and stuff like that, which is just, for me, insanely
worth £100 right there.
Is it worth a lot of money? No, probably not. But for example, for me, I was about to buy Demon's Souls, and that would have been £60. Mm-hmm. And then I got a message from PlayStation saying if I paid £35, I get PS Premium for a year. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, well, I've just saved £25.
Yeah.
Just to get, I don't own Demon's Souls, but I get to play it.
See, that's one of the best things about it, I think, is that, because I think it's one thing that I think has been weird about the way they rolled it out and the marketing, the optics around it, was it's kind of half this, oh my God, they're finally letting you access these old quality games. It's going to be a PS1 library, PS2 library at your fingertips. That's an incredible sentence, really, especially if you nail the games that are actually on there. But then also, they've kind of buried the lead, because the middle tier, PlayStation Plus Extra, is the one that comes with 400 plus PlayStation 4. And all the latest PS5 games. And that's the one that, like I said, it's the middle tier one. But I think that is unbelievable value for money. If you go down the route of Last of Us and God of War and Ghost of Tsushima and whatever, then they're all in that tier. So it's you can almost fork out, one of those games would be sort of full price, £40, whatever it is anyway, and you can just get all of them. So I think if you go down that route, I feel like they should have front loaded the marketing with that a lot more. I think that it's been a mix of, it's a classic service, but kind of not really. It's a passport to every single big deal we've done in the last 10 years, but also kind of not really. It's on one of the tiers, but not the other one. It's just stuff like that. I think they could have got out there and made more adverts about, for me.
This is where we're going to disagree, I think, because I don't think they necessarily did bury the lead when it came to that. For me, the thing that I was looking forward to going into it was getting those kind of like big PlayStation exclusive games like Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut, like Death Stranding, like Demon's Souls, and having them kind of like instantly available. I think that is great value, like you said. Mm-hmm. And for me, they kind of did front load that, and then at the detriment perhaps of the classic PlayStation 2.
See, I think for me, it was like, I thought they would do one big, like, do it during the State of Play, do it during like the official PlayStation like channel on YouTube, do one big advert thing that just says big announcement coming, and then you do your big reveal thing that says this is our monthly service, this is what we have, and we're giving you, and you show the montage of like Kratos and Jin, Sakai and everything, and all of this is available for the monthly fee. And I thought they could have nailed that a bit more, because for me, I think that the old school stuff, because I'm, yeah, like I said, we're all on premium, so that is PlayStation Plus as it was before, plus the 400 whatever it is PS4 and PS5 games, plus PlayStation 3 streaming game trials, and then the classic game stuff. So we can get into those things for a little bit, because I guess, Dallas, what do you think of the classic game library? You mentioned Toy Story 2. Did that blow you away?
It's weird. I think I've mentioned before, the amount of licensed games is actually quite unreal, to be fair. Like, well, I mean, it's just Disney games purely. Mm-hmm. But you've got Cars 2. Cars 2, Brave, Ratatouille, the game. But there's a lot of games that I completely forgot about.
Right.
And then they're just there again. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that fact. But I've been dabbling with the PS3 streaming.
Yes.
And it works really well.
PlayStation 3 streaming, I know when they said it was going to be streaming only, it is naff, because it should be downloadable. I wish I get Metal Gear Solid 4 upscale, downloaded, whatever it is. But you're streaming the version of the PlayStation 3 game that was available in like 2007 or whatever. And so for me, I was like, that's going to suck. But I think the fact that it just works kind of gets around that a little bit. It's still very much the same resolution. It's like 1080p or whatever. And some of them are struggling to hit 60. But like, if you just want to jump into Dark Void for 10 minutes, then you can. I think that stuff works.
Absolutely. I think in this podcast, we're going to get into a distinction between this service versus Game Pass directly for people who have both machines and are trying to choose one over the other, versus the value you get as someone who maybe only owns a PlayStation 4 or a PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Because in those terms, I think this is almost a no-brainer because of the library that you get. And yeah, when it comes to that side of things, the PS3 game streaming for me is, like, I like it. I liked it when it was PlayStation Now, for instance. You know what I mean? I had a PlayStation Now subscription for the longest time, played through Metal Gear Solid 4 and Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 in there, alongside, you know, all of the God of Wars. And yeah, it's not as crisp as a downloadable, upscaled, backwards compatible game on Game Pass, but it's still a good way to experience those games, especially if you don't own a PlayStation 3 or maybe never owned a PlayStation 3. Like, I think it's not the best way to play those games, but it's a very reliable way.
It's a way to play those games.
Yeah, that is true. But I mean, I don't think I lost loads playing God of War for the first time on PlayStation Now, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? I adore those games and I played them through streaming. Mm. And that's kind of crazy, because I was always not a fan of streaming. I was isn't gonna suck.
But yeah, like, I remember when they launched, when they made that whole deal with Gaikai, there was the Gaikai streaming tech, and it was when PlayStation Now first got announced and PlayStation TV got announced, and they did that whole thing of streaming stuff back then. That was when I tried PlayStation streaming, and it was abysmal. Like, I mean, I think I tried it. Might have been Ninja Gaiden. I know we talked about Ninja Gaiden on the wind-up, but like, it was something like that. It was something that required timing, and it was so pixely, and the actual, like, just the literal image was terrible, and it was so delayed, and I was like, oh, F streaming forever.
What year would that have been?
2012, I want to say. Whenever they did the Gaikai thing. It was 2011 or 2012, because it was on PS3. And I remember trying that and just thinking it was horrible. So I kind of went in with that expectation. I think a lot of people have that assumption that game streaming just sucks. And I still don't love it overall, but I think that they've come along leaps and bounds. Like, you can push a button and just stream a game, and it largely just works. Like, there is still that slight render time where they make the connection. It's not as fast as, like, streaming a video or something. But you can dive into that library. So I was going to say, to talk about that stuff overall, how have you been spending your time, James Doss?
So there is one game on there which I've adored, which I don't think anybody ever talked about. It's called Avicii Invector. Do you know the singer, whatever he was? What was he, producer? Great game.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely outstanding. It's like a guitar. It's like Kingdom Hearts, that music game that was released recently. It's like things come at you and you press triangle in time with his songs.
Right.
Mate, try it. Get back to me and try it. It's so good. And visually, it's like a trip in itself. It's so nice.
This looks really cool.
It's great. I played the demo on the Switch a couple of years ago, and then I saw this right at the top of the PS4 games. I went, this is what, James, and that's all I've played.
Douse. Yes, mate. This is what I love about services like this, right, is that you can see these games that you've, like, seen the cover of for so many years, but you would never, like, buy yourself. No. You would never take the risk and buy it. But I love that with these services, it's like, I can finally play Dark Void, which whose cover I have adored for literal decades at this point. Yeah. And now there's, like, no risk of jumping into a game like this and just being like, hell yeah, I'm going to try whatever this is.
North's finest work, Dark Void. That's one of his best roles. But the thing I was going to say before was I think that this is an interesting opening salvo of titles. I'm still always going to think that Tekken 3 should be on there instead of Tekken 2. I keep mentioning Tekken because I feel like Tekken 3 was a flagship title for the PS1, as was, you know, Final Fantasy 7, Metal Gear Solid, Soul Reaver. Like, you have all these big titles that I would arguably say you quote-unquote shouldn't be launching a PlayStation retro service without. Like, it's same with the PlayStation Mini. It was like, if you're going to do this, you need these pillars because that's what we associate with it. And so I'm in a weird place with it where, like, I looked at the library that you get, say if you buy premium for the classic stuff. That's kind of what I meant by the marketing. Like, the reason I got this was for the classic stuff. Like, I love the idea of PS1 games, PS2 games, at my fingertips kind of thing. But the PS1 stuff, and I don't know what you guys think of this, it's not that it's lacking. Like, it's fine. I played, like, a few hours of Ape Escape, still love Ape Escape. I still think that thing largely holds up. Played some Siphon Filler, played some Worms Armageddon. Like, that's fine. But I kind of then immediately I went back to the list and I was like, well, I've kind of done enough. Like, I've done as much as I want to do from what you guys have. And there's no real big pull. Like, they don't really have that big pull. They've been leaning a lot on Siphon Filter on the Twitter stuff. But what do you guys think of that? The PS1
side. Personally, for me, for PS1 and PS2, Gran Turismo was my game, and then Metal Gear. So there's so many games that just aren't on the server. Oh, Metal Gear is, though, isn't it?
Yeah. No, not yet.
Oh, is it not?
No.
But Gran Turismo, for example, was my game, and it's just not there. Spyro, Crash, aren't there. Like, all of the classics just... Why
and I hope that they're doing, we mentioned this in some of the preview pods, but I kind of just hope that they're doing the Nintendo approach where they sort of get to do the whole, and this month it's blah. Like, Nintendo go, hey, we got Pokemon Snap this month. And it's like, you get to have that little burst of interest around it. And maybe they find out that algorithmically or whatever, that's just better for the service because you get to have all these little mini adverts for it as they add stuff to it. And when they do add, you know, insert your favorite PS2 game here to it, then you'll care a lot more. It's a weird rollout for it. I still can't shake the fact, and we said this again in some of the news for it, that it was kind of just thrown together. Like, there's a whole thing about the way that the service looks. Like, when you go in the PlayStation Plus menu, I think that the actual collation of the games is messy as hell. Like, I think that they barely give you a list of, here's PS2 games. Like, they're all classed as PS4 games because loads of them are the HD re-releases from a few years ago and things like that. And I don't think it's that easy to really get a handle on the best version or whatever. Whereas, like, on Xbox, you just click on a tile and it gives you the best one by default.
This is interesting, right? Because we had this conversation actually off camera where you were like, there was no section for the PlayStation 2 games. And I was like, there's a section for PlayStation 2, PSP, and PS3 and stuff in there in the collection. I personally, again, I feel like I'm just like shouting at you from across the room being like,
there's a condenser on this mic, mate.
It's not that bad. But with a lot of the things that you're mentioning here, I do kind of agree. I'm like, when it comes to the PlayStation 1 collection, could it be better? It bloody could. Like, who played some of these titles that they've put on? Where is the likes of Metal Gear or, you know, Rayman or whatever? Oh,
Unholy War.
Hey, man, where is... Bruce Willis's Apocalypse.
Apocalypse.
I think it was called.
Oh my god, get that on there. Yeah. The Die Hard trilogy, yeah.
Totally. So I do agree that, you know, there are definitely ways it could be better, but from the selection that I do have at my fingertips, I am still kind of blown away, like Douse was saying. Like, I love that Toy Story 2 is on there.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah,
and I get to play Resident Evil the Director's Cut. I love that I'm going to jump into Siphon Filter. You know, it's a small handful of titles at the minute, but I just, if it does grow, if they do start adding, you know, more classics at a regular rate, I think it's a great starting point. If it's this forever, then I'll be fully on board with you to be like, this is underwhelming, this is disappointing. But as a starting point, I hope it's a foundation to grow from.
Mm-hmm. What do you think they'll focus on more, the classic games or the PS4, PS5 games?
PS5 games, I think. I would say.
I don't know. For me, like, there's such a gap in the premium stuff. Like, the extra tier is ludicrously good value for money. That's the one where you get, like, everything I've reeled off before. If you think PlayStation 4 game, whatever comes to mind is in that extra tier. That thing's, like, ludicrously good value for money. Premium, you're paying extra for the PS1, PS2, PS3 stuff, and game trials of the likes of Cyberpunk and WWE. or whatever. But like for me, the premium tier is the one that the fanatics like us went in for, but it's the one that's the most lacking as an actual tier thing. Like if you talk about why it's worth getting the final tier. And it's not to say, I mean, I'm not even saying it's bad. It's just saying that if you're going to do the whole pull the trigger on the PlayStation Legacy service, there's a more oh my God way to do it. But I get the licensing side of that that maybe makes it impossible without a lot more conversation.
Because Daus, I mean, the premium is where you get like all of the game streaming and stuff. Like, do you see yourself like exploring that a lot? Because I will, because I didn't have a PlayStation 3, so there are a lot of games there that I would love to jump into. It's not like I'm going back to revisit games, though I probably will do that as well. For me, it's a way to play games I didn't have access to for the longest time, because I only had a PS3 for like a couple of years, and I played MGS4 on it, and I think that was probably it. That was probably the only game.
Are the main PS3 games not ported to PS4, though?
Well, that is a good question, because a lot of them have been, like, you know, Uncharted, The Last of Us and what have you. But some. I would still argue that there is a lot of third-party stuff, especially, that hasn't been ported.
Well, there was that whole thing about the PlayStation 3 being notoriously impossible to develop for. So, like, the Infamous is, like, rarely available outside the PS3. Like, there was that dragon gyroscope game that they put, Lair or whatever it was called, where you play as a dragon, and it was originally a gyroscope that weird controller they had, the six axis, and then they patched it so you could use analog sticks. And it's like, the PS3 has such a feel to it, I find. It's like the weird year in Sony's history where they didn't know what the hell they were doing and they were overpricing for everything. And then they, like, apparently it was impossible to develop for, and that's why it's streaming only. So, like, there are some things that are locked to that, like, machine. But, not a thing that you're going to lose sleep over, I don't think. It's just, like, an option.
With the PS3, it's a weird console, because when I, was it 2005 when it came out? Or was it 2006?
Yeah, let's go 2005.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I ever saw it was in a Toys R Us.
Right.
And it was in one of those kiosks and with a HD TV. And I remember everybody saying that that's so expensive.
Yeah.
Well, that was the whole thing. 2006.
Nobody I knew owned a PS3. It was not my school's console. Everybody
well, that was the thing.
360 instead.
Yeah. Everyone's for my, I don't know about you, Josh, but like for me, when we were growing up, everyone went like, oh my God, PlayStation 2. Like, this is the best console of all time. And then there was that whole thing around like just the way the PS3 was rolled out where like, it was extremely overpriced and they didn't have like many great games for it. And then it just, everyone switched to 360. And it was like, I got a PS3 with my first, one of my first paychecks, because I was just like, I want to spend this on something. I want to play Uncharted. And Metal Gear 4 was coming out. So I was like, I need to get that. But yeah, I feel like that era is like a weird thing. And now it's like a weird streaming catalog.
What's quite funny as well, I think, is that, you know, when we talk about PlayStation classics, because we're of a certain age, we will jump to PlayStation 1. We will jump to PlayStation 2. But like PS3 games, they're also classics at this point.
Yeah,
you know, some
of those
games are 15 years
old.
Yeah, 15 years old, 16 years old, 14 years old. It's a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And there is an entire generation of fans out there who have probably never experienced these games. And to them, I think it's good to view it from the perspective of, those are part of the classic like rollout. Yeah, yes, PS1s are very much in there, but it's like 300 PS3 games or whatever fall under that banner of, this is our back catalog. This is what we're bringing to the table from our classic suite. And then hopefully the even older stuff from around the PS1 time gets added to later. So when I look at it through that lens, I'm like, that's a decent offering. There are hundreds of quote-unquote classic games there. And a lot of them are still, you know, really interesting to catch up on today. Like all of the Infamous games, like all of the God of Wars and what have you. Like, I keep talking about God of War, but like that was the experience that clinched it for me, because I just thought, like, I never got to experience those games. And PlayStation Now gave me that opportunity. And now PlayStation Plus, which is even better value, in my opinion, you know, it will hopefully give other people the opportunity to have the same experience that I did. That was incredibly belated.
Well, that's the thing, but they have all that potential. Like, I think, like, obviously the old God of Wars aren't on here as far as I know, unless it's maybe the HD collection, but like, it feels like, and that's my problem, that was my point with the collation stuff, is that like, if you want to go on, if you want to just indulge in retro stuff, then you go on the classic tab, and it's like, here's everything from past generations. But like I said, some of them are listed as PlayStation 4 games, like that, it's just not very clear. Like, and if you want to just go like, okay, what library of PS1 games do I have access to? There's no way to quickly bring that up. Like, you can't even filter by PS1. Like, it has to be, you have to find everything. And then if you do the list of all classic stuff, then some of them you'll go into and it'll say stream, something will go into and it'll say download, and you don't know if it's going to be, what resolution it's going to be. Like, there's just honestly, I think that it's night and day compared to how Xbox do it, where like, if they've put their little optimized for X/S thing in the corner of some box art, you know it's going to have auto HDR, frame rate upgrades, whatever. And I just think that like, it's not that that's a direct, it is kind of a direct comparison, but like it's night and day in regards to like if Ninja Gaiden, you compare the Game Pass version of Ninja Gaiden to the streamable PS3 one, they're 15 years apart, even both in 2022. Trophy stuff as well. I don't know if you guys, because one of the reasons for me buying this was trophies on old games. I don't know if you guys have bothered much with the trophy stuff, but the way that they've been implemented is like all over the place. Like Siphon Filter has a full set with a plat. Ape Escape has a full set with a platinum, and then Worms Armageddon and there was something else I played just have like two bronze trophies and nothing else.
Right.
So I'm just like, I don't know if that's the devs going like, well, we want to play two, and then going like, oh, if you kill 50 worms, you get a bronze. I don't know what that is, but that's just there too.
That's another thing that's going to be exciting to see how it is embraced or how it plays out, because I think Sony are good at introducing like loads of features that people might use, and then sometimes developers do and sometimes they don't, like with
the game cards,
activity cards, yeah, on PlayStation 5 or, you know, any support for the...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The dual sense or what have you. And I think this is going to be the exact same. I think even before the service came out, they were like, it's up to the developers really to decide. So I imagine for the first party stuff, it'll have pretty good support, like Siphon Filter. And for everyone else, it'll be like, well, you might get one trophy, you might get no trophies. And if you're someone who obviously, you know, that adds an extra element, especially to the older games, that I can see why that would be disappointing to go back and just
well, that's kind of what I mean. Like, there could be a way more streamlined version of this where you're going into like whatever like app you want to call it that we access from the XMB, if it's still called the XMB, the main menu on the PlayStation 5. And it's like, this is your PS1 catalog. These are all the trophy lists. You go mop up your childhood in terms of, you know, playing all these games and accessing all these different things. I feel like that's what they could have done. And maybe it'll become like that, because there's also this whole thing about the PlayStation 5 getting a firmware refresh like later this year and whatever, so maybe it'll change then. But I guess, James, tell us, what do you think of the old...
I wonder how much work a lot of these developers have put into putting their games on this platform. I keep saying Toy Story 2, but like, do any of the developers have that source code still that was given to them? Or was it literally just an emulated version of the original? Because then how do you add in trophies if they don't have the code? I don't know
well,
that was
what was amazing. I mean, yeah, I think Toy Story 2 is like the weirdest anomaly ever, because I think that thing doesn't have trophies.
It doesn't, no.
So, yeah, so like that was like Disney just going like, this is the ROM archive thing. Yeah. Here you go. But it is upscaled, like, or at least it plays in HD, I guess, like the Steam Deck emulated version might, for example. Yeah. But yeah, it's the first party stuff that has the most trophies, because I guess they have the most access to it. And like I said, you do have things like Worms Armageddon that are a couple extras. But yeah, that's my overall feeling with it, is that they, I said this on one of the earlier news things, it feels like they just kind of did a whip round and said, we're launching a monthly service, what have you guys got? And then Namco were like, well, we've got Tekken 2, and we'll kind of work out how to do Tekken 3, I guess, and figure it out.
That completely reminds me, when I was streaming Cars Mater National, I played it for a second, and it's one of those games that give you a trophy upon launching it.
Right.
Nice. That's just there on my profile now. I just can't get rid of it. So I've got to 100% that now.
You know how you delete like games off your trophy thing if you don't get any trophies. I think they should up that to one or two. Yeah. Let me delete that whole trophy from my life if I don't want that game on there. Like, I might have played something for 5 minutes, like you said, and now that is on there forever, taking down my ratio of trophies that I've unlocked and achieved.
We should talk about a game that you've been playing, Josh, called Shadow Warrior 3, which is a whole other wing to this, which is, and that's a whole other thing to talk about. They, like, you know, if they talk about competition with Game Pass, Sony said they were never going to put their first party stuff on there, and they're not, or anything that's going to be £70 premium price point stuff, they wouldn't put on there. But they did, as part of State of Play, say that Stray was going to be coming to, I think it's extra and premium as the two tiers day one. But also Shadow Warrior 3, I forget the name of the devs who make that. I know Devolver publisher.
Yeah, I also
dudes, anyway.
Devolver.
A Devolver published game, like sort of the third game in the first-person shooter over-the-top franchise thing, is also on, is it only on premium or extra?
It should be on extra, I think. It's, you know, it's a PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 game. So
that was like a PlayStation Plus release, like a Game Pass style. He has a full game as part of your tier thing.
Yeah, totally. And to be fair, that was on PlayStation Now before it was on this as well. So it kind of launched as an exclusive on that service first, and now it's been carried over for a little bit. Mm. And yeah, so what I love about Game Pass is when you get those exclusives, whether they're third party or first party, because it gives you a reason to boot up that service. It gives you a reason. It makes you feel good that you've paid into a subscription to get a game that you would have had to pay like £35 for, £40 for, maybe even £50 or £60 for. And with Shadow Warrior 3, that was a game that I would never pay full price for, even though I really loved the first title, but I would absolutely jump into it on a subscription service. So this gave me the opportunity to do that, and I've been playing that, and I've been really enjoying it. It's like an over-the-top game. It's one of the most unfunny games I've ever played, ever. It tries so hard to be
comedic. Do you play a character called Lo Wang?
I think you do, yeah. And there's a lot of lot of dick jokes, a lot of raccoon dick jokes. Like, yeah, you fair. Have to, like, it does like a Guardians of the Galaxy thing. The humor is
you should love
point.
That.
I love
Guardians humor.
I like Guardians. I don't like things that are like Guardians. It's like saying, you know, I like oranges, but I don't like apples that taste like oranges.
Okay.
That
okay.
makes sense.
That's fair.
I don't know if that makes
that's
sense.
That's accurate, yeah. Science.
Yeah. Yeah. You eat sausage rolls that taste like oranges. I'd be like, what are you doing? I want something else.
I might take one of them.
I might know. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, Afternoon. Shadow Warrior 3 is very unfunny. The script is very bad, but it plays like incredibly well. It's just a Doom-esque first-person shooter that gives you a bunch of wacky guns, a bunch of different enemy types to master, and it's just like an arena shooter, essentially. Right. And it's like 5 hours long, so I would.
You should have led with that.
Well, no, but this is the thing. It's 5 hours long, so I wouldn't probably say to go out and buy it, you know, full price, but as part of a subscription, it like excels because it's a game that I can throw on. I can listen to a podcast over the top and I can smash something out in 5 hours and have a good time with. And it's going to be interesting going forward to see what else is added to PlayStation Plus exclusively, like Stray. Like that is another game like Shadow Warrior where I will keep the subscription for that because I wouldn't otherwise have paid for Stray. Mm-hmm. But if it's part of the PlayStation Plus thing that I already subscribe to, I'm definitely going to give it a chance now. And that's what Xbox Game Pass has always succeeded with, and I hope that Sony get the memo this time around and add more games like Stray, like Shadow Warrior or whatever, to the service.
Like the mid-tier stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Daz, what do you think of that whole split of like asking people for £70, or if you wait long enough, it'll probably end up on one of these?
See, I was going to say with the Game Pass, I've noticed that I've done the exact same thing I did with Game Pass as I'm doing with this one, where I immediately downloaded all 500 megabytes or less games. So I've got Ollie 2.
Ollie World?
No, Ollie 2.
No, what you want to get is Ollie World.
Yeah, I'm not paying for that, though. it's not on the service. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I downloaded all these games I would never, ever pay for, like this Avicii game and so on. And that's what I've noticed is the same as what I did with Game Pass. I hardly ever touch the third-party games. Mm. I will, obviously, with the PlayStation one, but I just... I'm attracted to the rubbish games. And that's what I love.
You mentioned earlier, like, the shovelware. And honestly, shovel that shovelware into my mouth. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff.
My games.
Yeah, totally. That's the stuff I want to jump into and give a chance. Because, of course, I'm going to play, you know, Horizon 3. Of course, I'm going to play Uncharted 5. Like, that's a no-brainer. But it's not a no-brainer that I would go out and buy Dark Void, you know?
Do you know what? Like, there's a whole thing of every single company doing their own version of Game Pass, like the Ubisoft Plus stuff or EA Play or whatever. I wonder if all the indie devs get together and doing, like, an indie pass. And you sort of like, because that would be a way to get all the indie games in front of people.
Where it's not like, the Humble Indie Bundle.
There's Humble Bundles online, PC or whatever, but I mean, on consoles. Like, okay, to have some sort of like app that you would access from an Xbox home screen or a PlayStation home screen that cycles through stuff.
Didn't Xbox partner with Humble?
Yeah.
So did that not happen?
I guess so. I just think, I mean, that's like a deal.
I do know what you mean. Yeah.
I was thinking because like Devolver could do it. Like they have enough games now where they could have a Devolver app or something and you could cycle through it. Not that I want everything to become a monthly service because we're very much approaching that across the board.
Yeah.
But yeah, other ways to get games in front of people. I think that's the overarching like massive positive with this is that if you missed any PlayStation exclusives, they are now all in front of you.
Absolutely. And you know, you don't have that same risks that you did, you know, buying into a game like Returnal, which a lot of people might have been put off with because it's a developer that they don't know.
Best game ever made.
Well, this is what I'm going to get into. Best game of 2021, maybe the best game ever made. You know, that was often a hard sell because it's like, okay, I want you to play this roguelike from a developer that hasn't really made a game on this level before and it's quite divisive. Spend £70 on it, please. Like, that was a hard sell last year. Now that it's part of this service, though, I'm like, just shouting to everyone in the street, please play Returnal. It's on the PlayStation Plus subscription. In the financial risk in that sense is much less.
Well, it's like you've already paid for it. So.
Is that the only way to get games on the service then? Don't buy them originally so they don't perform well, so then they go on the service?
Maybe, James Dowd.
If you buy Last of Us Part 2 is not going to be on
just
there.
Just stay the hell away from God of War Ragnarok and then we'll all
that's
get it
not
for
gonna
free.
Be on there. There's so many games that aren't going to be on there, so stop buying games. And there you go.
I think that is interesting, though, as has been the case. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but most of the game-playing friends that I talk to just say that they wait now. They don't buy day one. Like, we've talked loads about, in various videos, various lists, about the fact that if you buy day one, you're buying the worst version of a game because it needs to be patched or it needs to actually be finished or whatever it is, like Cyberpunk 2 years late. I guess there's that whole conversation of like the more that these services take off on both sides of the bigger consoles, then does that just incentivize people to wait? Like, you're already forking out, let's say, £100 a year for premium. Do you think that changes things? Because Sony have tried to split the difference, and I don't buy that they had this planned years in advance. I think this is a direct response to Game Pass, especially the numbers that it managed to achieve across the pandemic, because they wouldn't have announced £70 was their new price point if they were going to do this stuff as well.
I think their model when it comes to first party exclusives, and that's why I want to talk about here, because they're not coming to, you know, PlayStation Plus day one. They'll probably come a few months after, maybe a year after. We don't really know. I think they might take the MCU approach, where the MCU movies now, they come out in theaters, obviously, but then they are quickly turned around onto Disney Plus eventually. They will drop on a streaming service much faster than they ever did before. However, they still make bank at the box office because they're still billed as events, right? They're stories that people want to be there day one to experience so they don't get spoiled, so they get the experience fresh. And I think that's what a lot of games, Sony games, are going to bank on. You know, people are going to rush out to play God of War Ragnarok rather than waiting because they want to see what happens with the story. They want to be part of that conversation. Same with maybe the next Last of Us or, you know, Ghost of Tsushima 2. They're going to be wanting to be part of that conversation. And then the people who would have waited anyway or wouldn't have been able to buy it or didn't want to buy it or couldn't buy it because of the financial situation, they still get quote-unquote rewarded because that will come to the streaming service eventually and it will, their patience will have, you know, weighed off. And it's not really lost sales because, like I said, they probably wouldn't have got it anyway.
That's the curious bit. Do they lose sales? And like, is there like an impact of the numbers of people who end up signing up to premium versus the sales numbers of those individual unit sales? Because the secret weapon is game trials. Like, they already have that up and running, like I said, for certain games. But if they make it so that that's their answer to day one stuff, and that's, they can kind of thread that line optically of just saying that, well, we said we'd never put it on there as the part of the service, but we will let you play an hour of it or something.
I popped big because I didn't realize that Olly Olly World 2 was on the game trial section.
Olly Olly World is. No, Olly Olly World is the newest one.
That's on the game trial.
Yes.
Olly Olly 2 is on the premium.
Play Returnal and Olly Olly World. It's one of the games of the year, lads.
No, World is on the game trial. You can only play an hour or so.
That's fine. You can still play it.
The point is, Scott's been talking about this game all year. It's a game that I wouldn't have bought, like I said.
The best soundtrack of the year.
Absolutely. Now it's on a trial. Of course, I'm going to play it. And of course, that tester might get me to buy the full game. I don't know yet. Yeah. So, like, game trials, I didn't think I would, like, be a fan of. Because it's like, at least when I buy something, I usually know the stuff I'm going to buy and the stuff that I'm not going to buy. But when it gets to that kind of middle ground of, I have no idea what the hell Olly Olly World is. I don't know how that plays. I just know Scott's recommended it. Is that enough for me to spend?
He's described it to him, but it's not.
Yeah, is that enough to get me to spend £30 on it? I don't know, but a trial in that regard will certainly help. So that actually sold me on that entire service. That was the thing I was going to just disregard and be like, that's probably not worth it.
But then
if you get games like that on there, which, you know, people will probably benefit playing a demo of, that is good.
Well, what's the deal with game trials? Is it like an hour long?
I think it's up to the developer, so it sort of varies. There was that whole mandate thing they had out a couple months ago about, like, you can only submit a trial if it's... it was like if the overall runtime is a certain amount of time, because they didn't want to... Like, you had to... there was a whole thing about how much you had to mandate and how long something could be or whatever. But it seems like it has to be a decent amount of game, let's say. But yeah, I think that stuff is interesting. I mean, I'm curious on how much they try and solve the demo problem, let's say, of the 8th generation, which is kind of came into this one, where you hardly ever know what you're getting. That was the whole thing across the last generation, as demos just went away. Like, obviously, they're harder to make. I always get the reality of that. But I wonder if game trials is the solution. Like, it's shippable code, it's launch day code, but you siphon off a couple hours of it, like Resident Evil 2 style, where you just go, here's X number, and X hours of this game. And that's how you get around it.
And I think they've picked, like I said, you know, just good titles to be on there already. Mm. Like, another example is that Tiny Tina's Wonderlands,
or whatever
it's called, the Borderlands spin-off. Mm. And that's another thing that I wouldn't have paid full price for. Mm. But now maybe I give it a try. Now maybe it gets its hooks in me. Maybe I end up getting that. Maybe it goes in Game of the Year. I don't know. Probably not. But who knows?
Almost definitely not. What do you think of the... Because the thing is, like, the elephant in the room is PlayStation, like, let's say, the premium tier versus Game Pass. Like, do you think that is a better value for money? Because it's like, the game trials are something that Game Pass doesn't have. Like, you know, you can't play Borderlands, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands on there.
The benefit, though, with Xbox's one is that you can do the streaming on every game. Mm. So, like, if I just wanted to try out, I couldn't even tell you a game on the service, Halo Infinite, for example. You could just stream it for the first 10 minutes, and if you like it, download it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the whole thing with trying before you buy that I feel just went away so much across the last 10 years of gaming that streaming itself can solve. And, you know, like you kind of mentioned, the PlayStation Now stuff, you could stream so many of those games. Now that they're on this different extra tier or premium tier, then you have access to that library. And I wonder if that's the thing that they'll overall just focus on, the idea of, like, we're for the players and you can just have access to all of these games and bulk out the library that way and worry less about going, £70 stuff is available. It's just, look at how much we're giving you. Overall, just come enjoy all the time, and maybe if you play Ape Escape 2, it's fine.
Well, Scott, I want to talk to you about something, because
warm this room is.
Well, this is very warm in here. You are the man who has played everything, as we know. You play everything that you can get your hands on. So there are very few, I would argue, AAA blockbuster video games that you haven't played.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, totally. However, I would say, perhaps for the average customer, they may have missed out on, you know, maybe some of the Uncharted games, maybe Ghost of Tsushima, maybe Death Stranding. I don't know why you would miss Death Stranding, but maybe you didn't play that, and now you get the chance to play the director's cut. What I worry about when we talk about the service is, because we play a lot of games because it's our job, and we like to keep up with it as much as possible, and we are fortunately, in many ways, financially able to, that we kind of take those big PS4 and PS5 games for granted in terms of them being on there. However, there are going to be a huge portions of the audience who won't have experienced them and are now finally going, thank God I don't have to pay, you know, even a discounted price to get these massive blockbuster titles. Now I have Returnal at my fingertips. I can go straight from that to Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut. I can go from that to Death Stranding. I can go from that to God of War, blah, blah, blah.
Well, see, that was what I was going to say, or get to, where I've seen people already argue that one Last of Us 2, one God of War, 2018, whatever, is worth more than anything on Game Pass. And right. that makes it yes. a better overall service or a more yeah. worthwhile service. That's an interesting talking point. And would you guys agree?
Like what you just said there with Death Stranding, I'd have never bought that. I appreciated your opinions and your love for the game. So I wasn't having it. I didn't care.
You stuck the dagger in. Now you're slowly pulling it out. I don't know if it's better.
I'm about to put it back in.
Okay, thank you.
So I still don't know bleeding. If I will play it.
Right.
But because it's there, and I guess I've just paid for it, I will play it. Whether I like it or not, I don't care because I can just delete it if I didn't like it because I've not just spent 70 quid
James
on it.
James Avicii yes. Douse That's strikes again.
Mr. Yeah. Vector.
Yes. It's got to be done.
Play it.
But that whole thing of giving you a catalogue of games is obviously what Game Pass built itself on. And it's interesting because Sony's almost in the reverse approach where Xbox is building to the exclusives and the foundation is the third-party stuff and the indie stuff. And PlayStation has past releases like that that were on PlayStation now that are now on this new service, but they have all the exclusives first. And it's like, I'm just curious how that's going to go sales-wise and how that's going to go in terms of the conversation because I don't necessarily agree that one God of War beats everything on Game Pass. I get what people mean by that because it's this big, insane, you know, totemic release kind of thing. But I do see a lot of quality in what Game Pass puts out. And I love, like, their shining a light on the amount of indie games you get, the likes of Paradise Killer or whatever, that have blown me away this year, that I've just thought, like, I would never have even known this existed without this thing. And I'm kind of curious how they curate this stuff going forward. But overall, we spent a couple of weeks with this stuff. I think we'll keep using it as much as possible, and we'll check back in. I'm curious what Sony do next. There's some rumored State of Play doing the rounds. There's an Ubisoft stream tomorrow, which will be today by the time you guys hear this on a Wednesday. And we'll just see what else comes out. What other games get announced? You never know. Maybe Ubisoft do an Ubisoft collection. Not to worry, though. This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by James Dowse.
Thank you, everybody.
And Josh Brown.
Thank you, everybody.
End of the table, second introduced Josh Brown. I will catch you next week.
Just stick the knife in, man.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.